freak out, just like Vince McMahon is right now in his office freaking out about the WWE stock prices. I am here to tell you, just chill out, relax, and take it easy as we talk professional wrestling for the next hour, hour and a half. Chris Walder, are you ready to talk some professional wrestling?
I'm always ready, buddy. You don't even have to ask anymore.
I know. It was. I feel like in the last 7 days, I am James Borbeth, by the way. He is Chris Walder. I feel like in the last 7 days, so much wrestling has happened in my life that I don't even know where to begin.
You're really moving on up, man. You went to the ROH show. You're doing some stuff for Between the Ropes. It's good times, man. Good times.
It is. I am now a columnist on BetweenTheRopes.com. I am writing for them on WWE, ROH, and little NXT, some other stuff. But excited to work with Brian and Steve and all the guys over there on BetweenTheRopes.com. Very excited for that. The Condo on the Moon is still rocking. Our podcast here, the Condo on the Moon podcast, still rocking and rolling. We're getting rid of the IWC thing. We're just getting rid of that. We're just Condo on the Moon podcast now.
I'm totally okay with that, man. We need more condos. We need more moons. Let's just stick with that name, shall we?
Well, you living in Toronto, that's the next place they're building condos, I believe, on the moon.
Pretty much.
Let's start off with the big news of the day. The WWE stock currently sits at $11.45. It opened the day at $19.93. It is down 42.52%. I am not a stock analyst, but that is not good news for the WWE. What has caused all this? Well, I'm glad you asked. The WWE announced yesterday, rumors in Variety, at the beginning of the day, that the WWE had come to terms with NBC Universal to keep all of their programming on that said family of networks. Nothing is changing. SmackDown remains on Fridays. It will not be live. Raw will be on Mondays. But the big news is it doesn't look like the WWE came through on their promise to double their money in terms of their rights fees for their programming, and that has sent their stock into a tizzy today, with it going down right at the opening, dropping like a rock, and steadily climbing back a little bit, but not too much. The low on the day, by the way, 985. So if you got in on that at 985, good day to buy some WWE stock if you're so inclined, because I think, even though the news is all doom and gloom today, I think the WWE is on the right path. It's just they were never going to follow through on all of these promises they had made money-wise. And with the WWE Network, it was looking bleak. And now the reality is sinking in for Wall Street. If they had paid attention and were wrestling fans, they would have known this.
Yeah, man. That's a lot of numbers to comprehend. I'm certainly not a numbers guy. That's why I'm in the wrestling business. But yeah, the deal with Universal and then the numbers that they were projecting for the WWE Network, which obviously haven't come through. They're still hovering around the 675,000-700,000 subscriber range, which is not where they want to be. They're promising, what was it, they hope that they can get 1 million by the end of the year, which is still pushing it. I mean, obviously they're going to have to expand to different markets, but yeah, like you said, they're on the right path. It's just right now it looks really, really bad.
The other concern for the WWE, obviously they're going to open up to international markets like here in Canada, the UK, Australia, and a whole bunch of other places. But there have been a lot of people that have gotten this network by nefarious means, illegal means, let's say, here in Canada, in the UK, in Australia. If you're one of those people, we love you and thank you for listening to our podcast. That being said, for the WWE, that's bad news because those are potential buyers that they're not going to get when they open up for international business, and maybe the numbers for internationally won't be as good as a result of that because you have all these people pretending to be Americans that are not actually Americans.
Well, there's always a way to beat the system. You know, I know a couple of people here in Canada that are actually using the WWE Network. Obviously, they can't legally because they are in Canada, but they found a way. You can get it through different IP addresses and whatnot. But I'm not going to be going down that path. But those people that are doing that, even back in the day when, or still going on now, when people would steal streams for pay-per-views and special events, that affects the numbers definitely.
Yeah, and then of course the bigger issue. And it's one we've talked about on the show quite a bit. The problems with Batista, with CM Punk, Mick Foley making his voice heard. The whole idea of wrestlers and what they're going to make with their pay-per-view money and all of that, that all comes into question. And that still is very much up in the air. It was way back in January that CM Punk had mentioned that there was supposed to be a meeting after the WWE Network launched, that has still never happened. The WWE Network launched the end of February. We are now the middle of May. WWE talent has still not had that meeting. Obviously, a lot of concerns business-wise for the WWE, but all of that pretty much is what it is at this point. There's not much they can do to change that in the short term. As for their in-ring product, more bad news. Your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Daniel Bryan, thankfully had successful neck surgery on Thursday, but he announced that on Raw on Monday, and he is now out for, we're not sure, definitely the next pay-per-view, Payback in Chicago. And I've heard rumors from anywhere to the next pay-per-view after that, he could be back to all the way to SummerSlam. So there is a question to be answered about the WWE World Heavyweight title and what's going to happen with that. It's a mess because, I mean, normally you would say, well, you know what? It's sad for Daniel Bryan, but you got to take the title off of him. But because within storyline they've done that so many times, I don't know if the WWE can afford to do that.
Well, they don't really have a choice at this point. I mean, if Bryan can't compete for a month or two, they can't go certain special events without having a world champion. And it sucks because we all followed Daniel Bryan's path to the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and we all went along on that ride with him. But at the same time, it's like you have to think from a company perspective. You can't have your champion on the sidelines. You have to strip him of the gold. Obviously, that's what we're going to get on Monday Night Raw. And as far as what they're going to do with the belt, I mean, they could obviously add it to one of the other matches currently booked on the card. But, yeah, it's good that they found this injury for Daniel Bryan. If he had kept wrestling, it could have gotten a lot worse. And, not to wish injury on anybody, but it also put a stop, hopefully, for good to this storyline with Kane, which was very weird, to say the least.
Oh, I don't know. I think you have to go back to that, because in storyline, Kane is the one that caused this neck injury, so I don't know how you avoid that when you come back.
Did they actually reveal that it was Kane that caused it? I mean, I know he attacked Bryan after the announcement was made, but was it ever made clear that it was him that did it?
Well, he dragged him out all laid out, and he put, like, three tombstone piledrivers on him on TV. Who else broke his neck? It wasn't Brie.
Well, I mean, he could blame it on the diving headbutt that he took at Extreme Rules. That probably didn't help his neck.
I just think that it's very hard storyline-wise to avoid that. There is one other option that the WWE could go, and I don't know if they'd go this way. In UFC, the answer to this problem would be obvious. When they have a champion go down, they immediately create an interim champion, and that would be the champion in lieu of the current champion who recovers and gets well, and then when he comes back, obviously you have the interim champion fight the champion, and it makes for good business. Something the WWE always tries to avoid is being compared to the UFC, but given the circumstances of everything, I don't know. This kind of makes sense for the WWE right now to me.
I like the idea. I mean, in a perfect world, or in a realistic world, I think what they're going to do is they're going to make the John Cena versus Bray Wyatt match for the title, or they add the belt to the Evolution Shield match where they say, okay, whoever gets the pinfall becomes the champion. And I think that can lead to, the inevitable, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan rematch, which we've all been calling for a while now. And but yeah, they should take a page out of UFC's book, because I think that works and that keeps the fans happy, because they don't want Bryan to lose the belt at all.
I think it's the perfect way to lead into your John Cena versus Daniel Bryan match, because both can stay as baby faces. You'll get the match coming back, and I think that that's a good way out of it for the WWE. On Monday, they claim they are going to address this, and obviously they are well aware of how Daniel Bryan made it through surgery, and they have a timetable that they're probably not going to share of when he should be back, and they'll know. So we'll see what happens. I can't see them stripping him of this title. I just think it would be a disastrous move at this point with all the bad things that are hovering around WWE right now, both in the ring and out of the ring. I think that would be a blow that would not go well. And whoever were to be that champion, boy, oh boy, they're going to take a lot of heat.
But at the same time, we would expect this of the authority angle, right? Because these are the guys that are saying Daniel Bryan is a B-plus player. This injury gives them an excuse to take the belt off him.
It does, but there's a reality to it, too, in the sense of they had to cave, and Daniel Bryan got his moment at WrestleMania. And, you know, once he went there, I don't know if you can go back to, oh, well, you know what, guess what, we're going to screw him over again. Even if we have just cause this time, I don't see it, how that's going to play out well with WWE fans.
Well, I don't know if you watch this, but on WWE.com, they have those interviews with Triple H and Michael Cole every week. I mean, there's been some other people sprinkled in there, but I watched the one from Wednesday, and Triple H was basically going along those lines again of calling Daniel Bryan a B-plus player, saying that ever since he's only been champion for a month now, all of the targets on his back, all of these superstars are coming for him. He couldn't handle the pressure, and he's already injured. So I know, you know, we had the WrestleMania moment where Daniel Bryan proved everyone wrong, but it looks like they could go back to that, the point where, you know, Triple H just doesn't have faith in his champion.
But let's put this in perspective. That interview was taped before they knew what happened with the surgery. They now have that information. So I think they were covering their butts if they had to take the title off him by doing something like that. But because it's on WWE.com, as lots of things that end up on WWE.com, if they don't reference it on Raw, who's going to know what ever really happened other than for the few 100,000 people that check those things out?
Well, if he's only out for a month, I don't think they'll take the belt off of him. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when CM Punk had to miss the TLC pay-per-view, and he was up in the stands on his crutches, but he was back in a reasonable amount of time, and all they did during that event was they had the Ryback and Team Hell No versus the Shield, and then the main event was Cena and Ziggler for Money in the Bank. So I think if Bryan's injury does turn out to be, you know, a straightforward recovery, he'll be back in 3 to 4 weeks, I don't think they'll take the belt off him.
We'll see. I mean, that seems awfully optimistic. The most indications are July Battleground or SummerSlam are the dates that are realistic for him to come back. And we'll see how it's going. Speaking of how things are going, WWE stock update. We are at 11:40 now for your WWE stock, down 42.79%. We'll keep you updated as the podcast goes along.
You're going to be constantly giving a stock update, eh, buddy?
Why not? I mean, Michael Cole does things like this. Why can't I?
Sure. You're much better than Michael Cole.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm trying to stroke your ego here.
I know. It's nice. But Michael Cole, you mentioned those interviews with Triple H. That's what Michael Cole is very good at.
The one-on-one
interviews, I think he has, for people that don't know, he has a traditional news background. And when he does those one-on-one interviews, that really shines through that he has that traditional news background. And I think he does a great job with those. On play-by-play and commentary, that's a whole other story.
I just don't want to see him dancing to any more Adam Rose entrances.
And normally this would be probably one of the bigger stories of the week. But because of what's going on, not as big a story, but the WWE is off on their European touring, and did you catch what happened to Roman Reigns? My God.
That was quite the cut over his eye.
He is one banged up individual. Ladies all over the world are upset about this because there is no way you're not getting a scar out of that.
Yeah, he had, I don't know how many stitches he got for that bad boy, but what was it? He was in a steel cage match with Randy Orton, and I think Orton got banged up too, right?
I don't know the exact things. I didn't watch the actual footage, which was online, of how he got banged up and cut open, but I just saw the actual pictures with the gash, which was nasty.
It helps his badass image, that's for sure.
It does. Roman Reigns, he will be on Raw on Monday. There is no question about it. And they should make a big deal out of it.
Oh, yeah, they can, you know, play into his persona and whatnot. But it looks like he got, like, a chunk of his head taken out of him.
Yeah, it was a big, nasty chunk. I've had my head split open in the back and in the front. Right at the top of, like, the hairline when I had hair, but nothing like that. That was gruesome. That was a war scar for sure for Roman Reigns. And you know, I love his attitude about it though. Good story from this. Yeah, Roman Reigns, no big deal.
That plays into the Evolution Shield match. You know, Orton, you busted me open, man. Gonna seek some revenge on June 1st.
Yeah, so, you know, it is interesting now, the payback card kind of up in the air. With Brian out, I guess the main event, it's between Shield and Evolution and Wyatt and John Cena, and I guess what happens with the WWE title will play a large role on what match ends up being your ultimate main event in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, if they add the belt to either one of those matches, that'll be the main event for sure, but... I mean, I don't think we're going to see Shield Evolution at 9 o'clock like we saw at Extreme Rules.
No, probably not. That's probably not happening. And so it's been an interesting week for the WWE overall. I mean, I think, you know, in some respects, disappointing with what's happened with the stock and what's happened with the TV deal and not reaching their targets. But in another sense, the WWE keeping status quo might just be an all right thing for them in the long run. I know they wanted to make some changes. They wanted to do SmackDown Live. I'm not sure if any of that would have panned out. Keeping things as it is might not be the worst thing in the world for them.
Yeah, just kind of keep a level head and keep the ship afloat. I personally would have liked to see Friday Night SmackDown go live just because, you know, the fact that you can look up the spoilers kind of takes away from you wanting to sit in front of your TV for 2 hours because you already know what's going to happen. And I do the same thing with Impact Wrestling. You know, I hate to watch the product, but of course I'll look online and see what they're up to. And I think that's always going to be a strike against SmackDown until they go live, if that ever happens.
But would it have really drawn if they'd done it on a Tuesday and done it live? I question how much wrestling people can take. Like, on back-to-back nights, you go 3 hours with Raw and 2 hours with SmackDown the very next night. I don't know. I love my wrestling, but that might be a little much for me.
And the booking of SmackDown is essentially they'll come up with 3 solid matches, and then 2 of them will be rematch. They'll have the rematch on Monday Night Raw, so you're not missing much anyway.
No, and that's the thing. The big thing now, I think, now that they have all this television stuff figured out is, how the heck do you boost the ratings on SmackDown? Because SmackDown's been a show that I think a lot of WWE fans see as skippable now for the reasons you mentioned and just for the fact that I think people rightly feel this way. Anything significant that happens on SmackDown, they're just going to tell me about it on Raw anyway.
Well, the last time SmackDown was relevant was when they had the brand extension because there was only a certain amount of superstars you'd see on that show. And I feel like with the roster getting bigger and now you're incorporating some of these NXT guys and moving them up, I think now, I mean, it's not going to happen, but now would be a great time to do the split brands. But, you know, it's obviously not on their to-do list.
No, and with what they've done with their NXT debuts, I wrote about this in Condo on the Moon. A lot of people saying that I was being negative, but, I mean, honestly, let's face it. They have not hit a home run with anyone in quite some time. And if you're Bo Dallas sitting in that on-deck circle, boy, oh boy, be afraid, young man. Be very afraid.
Well, unless you count the guys from The Shield. They were NXT guys.
No, but...
My family.
Yeah, but those were, like, we're talking over a year ago. I'm talking this recent rollout of NXT people has been disastrous. I mean, go through the list. Emma, She now has a pink cobra. Paige, the weakest ever booked champion in the history of the Divas division, and that's saying something, because Kelly Kelly once held that belt.
I disagree with Paige. I mean, she's not losing matches.
But she's being booked weak.
Well, they're giving her time to wrestle and giving her time to perform, because that's her main strength.
That's fine, but she's being booked weak in those matches. And oh, I forgot this off the top of the show. You made waves this week, too. You got a WWE diva mad at you. How did this happen?
I did. Oh, man. Well, I was writing a story for WrestlingRumors.net, and I was noticing on Twitter, because I don't use, I mean, people, they tell me every week on Raw, download the WWE app, and Lord knows I'm never going to do that. But I was hearing stories that during a backstage segment, Fox went up to Stephanie McMahon and formally quit. So as the wrestling analyst that I am, I presumed that maybe that was a storyline, or maybe that could mean she's leaving the company. And, that, and this whole, you know, her throwing a temper tantrum after her match with Paige was a way to write her off TV. And then it turned out that I was completely wrong. I found out later that that was not the case. I think she confirmed it on Twitter herself. So I just tweeted out, hey, you know what? I wrote the story. I jumped the gun. I counted my eggs before they hatched, or chickens before they hatched, and I said, you know what? Fox is leaving WWE. That's not true. I apologized to her formally, and then she forgave me. And I know you think that she didn't forgive me, but she had a nice smiley face and a peace sign, so I'm going to take it as there is peace on earth between me and Alicia Fox.
I don't know. It was kind of a backhanded, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't count on that.
Hey, we're still cool, me and Alicia Fox. We go way back.
Oh, yeah. We go way back. Way back to that time you said she'd quit the company, and she really hadn't. But
yeah, I felt special because she doesn't really single out fans like that. Now it's like I must have been the only person to – because I wasn't the only site that actually wrote that she quit, but I was man enough to come up to her and apologize and say that I was wrong.
All righty. Well, another person who was taking to Twitter this week, by the way, and was not so complimentary to fans, was one Sheamus. He is not too happy with the internet wrestling community.
Does that have to do with his little backstage fight with Sin Cara?
No, it wasn't about that. He was just bashing the internet for everything, apparently, and denies that he is workout buddies with Triple H. That they only worked out 3 times back in Australia a long time ago, and that apparently all these internet wrestling sites don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Heel turn.
Yeah, it's pretty much seeming that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always one of those things on Twitter. Some WWE superstars are different from others. When you follow a Dolph Ziggler, you pretty much get Dolph Ziggler. When you follow some other people, you kind of got to have your angle alert antennas up. And boy, oh boy, this Sheamus nonsense on Twitter had my antennas up. And, of course, a lot of wrestling sites that Sheamus would say are full of BS say that he may end up joining Evolution. So we'll see if those sites are full of BS or if that happens.
There's always going to be false reports, true reports, reports in general about WWE superstars. I mean, if you're in the business, you just kind of have to accept that rumors are going to be swirling across the internet. And if I was in his position, I would just ignore it. I mean, I don't know how much leeway these guys have on Twitter, what they can and cannot say, but he's not winning over any new fans with comments like that.
Well, and if he is going for a heel turn, he's obviously not trying to. But you know what? We both cover the NBA, and how many false rumors do we get in the NBA around trade deadline time that never pan out to be true? And do people ever come and say, oh, well, I got it wrong? No, of course not. Because we have the attention span, unfortunately, in this world right now of what's happened in the last 5 minutes.
When you work in the online media, every, you know, when you put out stories like that, they generate views and they generate dollars, so you can't really blame us. We're just doing our jobs here.
Well, I don't know. I can blame. It's a thin line. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I have an issue with it, but at the same time, I get what people are trying to do. But in the case of Sheamus attacking like online sites, look, dude, you're making a good paycheck. you know, these guys are just out there trying to make a living. I don't think you should be, like, going after them full bore on Twitter. That's probably not a good idea. And, of course, with Daniel Bryan out, we have to have the CM Punk rumors of, will CM Punk be back? Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you, I wrote about it. It's not happening. CM Punk will not be back until after his contract is done in July. I will guarantee it, because there is no way he is going to sign an extension to that contract he has now, for all the reasons we talked about off the top of the show, with talent not being given the rights to the money from the WWE Network and digital content. CM Punk is not a dumb guy. If he's coming back, he is going to be the first guy in line to get those rights hammered out and figured out and get his fair share. And pretty much everyone in that locker room should be rooting for him to do that, because that will set the standard for the new world that the WWE now has created for themselves and for their talent.
Yeah, I can't blame fans for, you know, as soon as the announcement was made by Daniel Bryan saying he's going to miss some time, people just jumped on the CM Punk bandwagon. They felt like Vince McMahon was going to pick up the phone and offer Punk the world, especially if Bryan was going to miss a few months. So, I mean, I can understand that, but there was also some photos circulating on the web a couple of days ago. CM Punk and AJ went to Doc Gallows' wedding.
Yeah, and he's going to be wrestling. We're going to talk about ROH later on, because I was at their show, obviously, on the weekend, and they got the show coming up in New York City. And yeah, Punk and AJ were at the wedding. In fact, a lot of wrestling people were at that wedding. It was quite the affair. People from all of the companies converging, all in one little group for someone's wedding. And nice to see, because from all indications, Doc Gallows, pretty nice guy. I mean, one of the better friends of CM Punk. Not surprising he was there. Not surprising he's going to Blackhawk games. Not surprising he shows up at Cub games and all of that. And, you know, it's interesting what's going on. And there was also, I don't think this had come out before the last time we talked, that op-ed piece by his friend who he used to date, talking about all the fans stalking him and this sort of thing. And That was an eye-opening article that she wrote. The fact that people are, like, camped out at this guy's house, and it's just crazy madness.
You know, fame comes at a price, and I think that if CM Punk had just addressed his situation and come out with some sort of formal explanation, whether it was on television or just through his Twitter account or something like that, giving fans an idea, why did he leave? Well, you know, we all speculate, and we all figure it has to do with money and the storylines, but until we hear it from the horse's mouth, no one's really 100% sure. So, and that's why the fans are going crazy, and they're stalking the man and, you know, looking for him all over Chicago. Like, I mean, holy crap, he's a human being. Would you like somebody in your face like that all the time?
No, but I'm gonna say something here, and forgive me if you're an American and you don't like what I'm about to say, but I have a little analogy for you that kind of speaks to my trip down to see ROH and something that happened down there. I had met some wrestling fans on the bus heading down to see ROH, and we got to the show early. We were hanging out front of the Ted Reeve Arena. We got to meet Jay Briscoe, came up to us, shook all our hands, said hello, had a nice experience with him. He thanked us all for coming out to the show. That was great. And then we were joking around about, oh, I wonder if Kevin Steen's around. It'd be cool to see Kevin. And this guy walked up to us and said, if you were serious about that, well, he's right in the park that's behind the arena. I just saw him. And we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And we just wanted to see if this guy was lying to us or telling us the truth. So we wander on over, and sure enough, there was Kevin Steen in his wrestling shirt the whole nine yards, but he was playing with his young son in like a playground area there. We, as four wrestling fans who are Canadian, debated on if it was right to even go up to him because he was with his son, and we all determined no, it wasn't right. We weren't even going to scream at Kevin. We were just happy to know the guy didn't lie to us, and we went on our way. I think when you're down in the States, that kind of environment doesn't happen very often for people who are celebrities. In fact, it just doesn't. And I don't say this just about wrestling. I've heard it from NBA players that come up here to Canada, and they're so surprised at how Canadians are different in the sense of they kind of give even celebrities that berth and are very, you know, unassuming about it. If they do come up for an autograph, they tend to be more polite. They don't tend to be rude. And the experiences are much more positive for them when they're up here in Canada as opposed to down in the States. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Well, that's the way I've kind of always looked at celebrities. And, you know, in America, it's more of a Hollywood world. And, you know, in South Beach and Los Angeles, you see celebrities every block, basically. But, like, in the end, we're all people. And they have really great jobs, and they have jobs that we see every single day. But at the same time, they work 9-to-5s. They go home to their families, and they just want to be left alone sometimes. And here in Canada, you know, we have a reputation for being really respectful of people's space, and just like you said, we show that.
And I think might as well transition into my time at ROH, and actually checked out Alpha One Wrestling as well here in Hamilton. So we'll transition into that. Actually got to meet Kevin at the show, and actually told him this story verbatim, and he thanked me for just not doing anything and letting him have his time with his son, so that was great. Talked to him about a few other things. Really nice guy. Got a chance to talk with him again in Hamilton because he was on the show in Hamilton. And just a fantastic guy. Everything that you've ever thought about Kevin Steen and how he relates to his fans and how great he is with people, it's 10 times better when you see it live. I mean, I watched this guy not as much at the Toronto show, the ROH show, because it was so crowded and busy. But I watched him in Hamilton, person after person, talking with him, saying hello, taking pictures, all the little kids, you know, making them feel special and all that. This guy gets it, and boy, oh boy, I hope he gets his opportunity in WWE because he will fit in their world. He is a guy that really understands how to make fans feel special and how to connect with those people. And at that show, I mean, my God, Kevin Steen was the most over man in Toronto in that building. And, you know, he came out there, he waved the Canadian flag. People just love him up here, and it was just a great experience to watch him and Adam Cole go at it. It's so rare nowadays that you get to see guys where it's 100% babyface, 100% heel, and that's what you got out of that match at Global Wars, because everyone was behind Kevin Steen. That said, too, also got a nice little experience with the Young Bucks, talked with both of them. Great guys, Nick and Matt. Talked with Adam Cole, their world champion. Just a phenomenal young guy. I mean, really gets it. Really a nice individual. I know he plays a sleazeball at ROH, but boy, he really gets it in talking with people. And if you ever heard this guy do interviews, he doesn't sound like a 24-year-old guy. He sounds like a guy who's like much older and much more experienced, and does a super job at promoting himself and ROH. And another guy that we've said it on this show a number of times will be in the WWE. I have no doubt he will be in the WWE. It's just a matter of when, not if. And also got to talk with Maria Kanellis, said how much I enjoy her podcast with Mike Bennett. And, you know, ROH was just a super experience. I mean, they really go out of their way to try and engage their fan base and have cool experiences with their fans. And this promotion with New Japan obviously has worked out pretty well for them. And they put on a great show in Toronto. Global Wars was one of the best wrestling shows I've ever attended live, and I say that in all sincerity. I mean, sometimes when you go to a WWE house show, sometimes when you go to a WWE house show, you know all the guys on the card and all that, but it can be a very sterile environment at times, and with ROH, it was nothing like that.
Well said, man, and I'll give you credit. And ever since me and you started doing this podcast, I watched some ROH back in the day, but, I mean, just hearing your passion about the product and you putting over guys like Steen and Cole, that's actually raised my enthusiasm for Ring of Honor wrestling, and I recommend anyone out there who is even remotely a professional wrestling fan, if you're not watching Ring of Honor stuff, then you are sorely missing out.
And the best news of the night for them, the iPay-per-view on Ustream, no hitches, no glitches, came off fantastically. It's going to be on iPay-per-view again for Global Wars this Saturday, if you have the means to check that out, meaning you have a credit card and you've got $14.95 that you can spend, you will not be sorry. It is going to be a great, fantastic card, and I think will be even better in some respects because it'll be all the ROH guys going at it with the New Japan guys, and we'll give a rundown of that card in just a couple minutes. But one other thing I wanted to mention, I also was at the Alpha One show here in Hamilton, which is a local indie promotion, and that was a fun show as well. A lot of ROH talent on that show, and I got to see a different side of someone from ROH that I had not seen, obviously, on ROH television, and just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Michael Elgin was booked on that card, as was Kevin Steen, as was Kyle O'Reilly and Jimmy Jacobs, and I think that was all the ROH guys. Originally, the match was supposed to be Michael Elgin versus Silesia Sparks, who is also from ROH, and they were going to wrestle a match against one another, and what ensued was craziness, as Jimmy Jacobs came out and said Michael Elgin should be ashamed of himself for fighting a woman, and what would his family think, and Michael Elgin's legitimate wife comes out with Jimmy Jacobs, and it turns into a tag match with Jimmy Jacobs and Michael Elgin's wife against Elgin and Silesia Sparks, and it was the funniest 15-20 minutes, whatever it was, that I have ever seen, and Michael Elgin has some comedic chops to him in this match. It was just absolutely hilarious, all the different spots that they came up with so he wouldn't actually attack his own wife were hilarious, and it was one of the funniest matches I have ever seen. Credit to him, credit to Jimmy Jacobs and the two ladies. A fun filled match at the Alpha One show, and their main event with Ethan Page. He lost his championship, which was sad, but he's a great wrestler. He is going to be, I can't say these things, but I know things are looking good for him to be part of ROH. So you haven't seen the last of him, because when he was on with us, he had mentioned about being on the Future of Honor show, which he was, and he won his match, and big things are happening for him, I think. So be on the lookout for him. He was actually trained by Michael Elgin, so there you go.
I wouldn't have expected that from Michael Elgin, though, when you talked about that little comedy tag team match. I guess there's more to his character than meets the eye, and it shows how versatile he is.
Yeah, and I mean, he wrestles out in PWG, too, and it's a little more looser out there, and he wrestles as part of a tag team called, what are they called? But it's him and Brian Cage, and they're two big, huge guys, and they are over with the PWG fans, and that's a little bit comedic in nature, too. So Michael Elgin, a performer not just of mass and size and a great wrestler in the ring, but a pretty well-rounded wrestler as well, and he will be one of the headline feature matches on War of the Worlds. We'll run through this card fairly quickly and let you know what's up with that on Saturday for ROH. The main event, Adam Cole successfully defended his title against Kevin Steen and made his way out of Toronto. He will now face the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger
Oh, wow.
For the ROH world title. this is going to be amazing just because the fact Lager is 48 years old. Adam Cole was born the year that Jushin Thunder Liger debuted. To put this in some perspective for you, a big match for Adam Cole, I think it will show how far this young man has come, working with a true legend in Japanese wrestling and well known in North America as well. Liger is just a tremendous performer, and even at this age can still get it done, despite one drunken fan at the show in Toronto calling him a Power Ranger. No. He's pretty good. He's been around for a while. So there you go. Speaking of which, the Alpha 1 promotion I was at, for their next show, they did a whole Power Rangers spoof.
Really?
To promote their next show. It's hilarious.
What did they do?
Oh, they're all the Power Rangers. I'll throw it up on Twitter. I'll let you retweet it. But yeah, it is quite funny. Check it out. Their next show, I believe, is July the 4th. And Chris Sabin's going to be on that show. Recently released from ROH.
Sabin was in ROH for a bit there?
Sorry, recently released from TNA.
From TNA. See, we're trying to get around mentioning TNA at all possible, even if it means we have to screw up once in a while.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about Slammiversary and MVP and now a heel going against, who's their champion? Oh, yeah.
Eric Young.
He is not getting neck surgery, to the best of our knowledge.
Yeah, even though that was a running joke on Twitter as soon as...
Kayfabe,
you know.
News. Yeah. Good on them. Very funny guys. Check them out as well.
And
anyway.
Now Bobby Lashley's a heel now, eh? Him and Kenny King and MVP, they got a little trio faction going on there.
Okay, there it was, your 60 seconds of TNA. We hope you enjoyed it. Now back to the ROH card. And the IWGP heavyweight title match with a former TNA talent, AJ Styles, the current IWGP champion and the head of the Bullet Club, which my Young Bucks are a part of, so obviously I like that. He will be taking on the aforementioned Michael Elgin for that title. If Michael Elgin is successful, he would be the first Canadian ever to hold the IWGP heavyweight title, I am told. So, they have had two great matches already in ROH. If you haven't seen them, you should. Michael Elgin has not lost to AJ Styles at this point. One was a draw. One was a win for Elgin. This, the big rubber match in New York City at Hammerstein Ballroom, should be very exciting and will be a great match, I have no doubt.
And I love the Shield and the Wyatt family in WWE, but right now, I am watching a lot of Bullet Club stuff, and they're slowly becoming my favorite faction in wrestling.
They are quite tremendous, and people are really into them. That was one of the disappointments at the Toronto show, actually. No Bullet Club shirts were there to be sold. I'm sure they could have sold a lot of them.
And before you run through the rest of the card here, WWE, actually, and all of the news outlets online have confirmed that their former leader, Prince Fergal Devitt, one of the two. He is going to be heading to NXT Developmental in August. He's just working through some work visa issues at the moment, but he will be with NXT by August.
Yeah, there's a couple from Japan coming over, rumored. Kenta also on
Kenta,
his way.
Yeah.
Rumored to be. Look out for them coming up soon. That said, the Young Bucks, who for most people had arguably the match of the night in their title defense on War, or not War of the Worlds, I was at Global Wars. This is War of the Worlds. They are now defending their ROH tag team titles this time around against the former champions Red Dragon, which is Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And oh, those sneaky sons of guns, they went and got a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
Filthy Tom Lawler to be in their corner. I have suggested to the Young Bucks that they get Mike Tyson to counteract this. I doubt that will happen.
You want them to bring out Ronda Rousey, though.
Ronda Rousey would be tremendous with the Young Bucks. That would be fantastic. I should have said that. But she might be, you know, busy. But who knows? The Young Bucks, though, this match obviously getting a ton more attention now because of the fact that you have a UFC fighter involved. And good on it, because Red Dragon and the Young Bucks, two of the best tag teams around in the world today. I mean, you will get a fantastic match out of these two. And it should be interesting with the Young Bucks and Red Dragons going at it. I'm worried for the Young Bucks now with this UFC fighter in the corner. I think this is not a good thing for them. Although they have all their Bullet Club buddies that are on this card. So who knows? Chaos could ensue. But Filthy Tom Lawler, if you're not familiar with him, is a huge wrestling fan. Very big into the wrestling, and has actually been a guest a couple times with the guys on The Law for their review of Raw show. When John Pollock has been away, he has filled in with Wei Ting, and just been hilarious in doing that show. So go back, look in the archives for that on Review a Raw over on The Law's website, and you will see how much of a huge wrestling fan Filthy Tom Lawler is. He watches all kinds of wrestling.
Do you see a title change here? I mean, if they're bringing in a UFC guy to accompany Red Dragon, I mean, you'd think, you know, there signifies a change.
It kind of, the Young Bucks fan in me kind of doesn't want to admit this, but yeah, because I don't know what the Young Bucks status is with ROH. Red Dragon, I do know their status with ROH, and this would be a fun way to have had the Young Bucks in for a little bit of a run, and then they go back to doing what they do, which is a lot of stuff with New Japan and all over the place, PWG. The Young Bucks, they travel well. I'm hoping that's not the case, because I want to see the Young Bucks remain in ROH, but the logical person to me says, yeah, Red Dragon definitely would be the betting favorite for this one. Mm-hmm. And in the other match for the IWGP Tag Team Championships, the aforementioned wedding of one Luke Gallows, he is one half of those champions, along with Machine Gun Carl Anderson. They will be taking on the man who I met at a stoplight in Toronto, Jay Briscoe, along with his brother, Mark Briscoe, and that should be just an absolute, as JR would call it, slobber knocker of a match. I tend to think the Bullet Club will come out on top, because I don't think the Briscoes are allowed to go to Japan.
Right. But that's usually, I mean, with matches like this, when you're having those overseas belts come to Ring of Honor and whatnot, I mean, if the belt changes hands, that's fine. I'm just interested in the wrestling, because that's how good ROH has been with their in-ring work, and Bullet Club versus the Briscoe brothers. Hey, maybe their mother will be there too. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe the whole Briscoe clan will be involved in New York City. One never knows. The ROH TV title will be defended by Jay Lethal against Kushida and Kevin Steen. After losing his world title match, he will go against Nakamura in the place that is christened always when Kevin Steen wrestles there, the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Ballroom, yep.
That should be interesting. One little thing that's up in the air here. Cedric Alexander, in his match with Roderick Strong from the Decade at War of... I'm going to get these mixed up again. At Global Wars, the show I was at. He was injured after that match, and apparently legitimately. And now Kushido Ogata, who was the champion that... Kushido Okada, who was the former IWGP champion, now doesn't have a dance partner, and it was weird. The reason I bring this up, there was a stare down between Okada, AJ Styles, and Michael Elgin, and now Okada doesn't have an opponent. Do we end up seeing a three-way between those three? And I don't know. They say that's not what's going to happen, but they haven't announced an opponent for Okada, so I don't know what's going to happen there. We will wait and see.
Well, they teased it for a reason. I mean, they could easily throw him in there, but yeah, I wouldn't bet on it. They'll probably just throw somebody else in Okada's way.
Who knows? But the Cedric Alexander thing, it looks like it's an angle, because when ROH reported on it, did not report an injury, did not report a time for when Alexander is said to return. So that screams to me this is an injury angle and not a legit injury. I could be wrong. If Cedric Alexander is hurt, we wish him well, and hopefully he will return at 100%, because obviously a big win for him over Roderick Strong at Global Wars, but it screams angle to me, so we'll see what happens there. Moving right along, this is the match that Michael Bennett and the internet are at war over, because Hiroshi Tanahashi is facing Michael Bennett. The internet is very upset by this, because the internet loves Hiroshi Tanahashi and does not feel that Michael Bennett is worthy of sharing a ring with this man. With all due respect to the people on the internet that do not like Michael Bennett, I wholeheartedly disagree. I think Michael Bennett is a tremendous wrestler. His match that opened the show at Global Wars was fantastic. Maria Kanellis took a spear in that match off an apron. That girl is an animal. I don't know how the heck you can allow your own fiance even to spear you off a ring, but she let that happen. And I thought he had a great match with ACH, who is a guy who people on the interweb seem to love, and I thought they put on a great match. I think Michael Bennett is fired up to make this one heck of a match. And Tanahashi, many people feel he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, if not the best. This potentially could be the match that steals the show to me.
And you're a Michael Bennett guy. There's no denying that. But, yeah, this is what I've been telling you. If people put Tanahashi on this pedestal, and I mean, I've seen some of his stuff on YouTube, and I agree, he is one of the best wrestlers in the world. But, you know, people need to give more credit where credit is due to Michael Bennett, because I think he's great as well. I mean, I've heard his promos, and he's great on the mic, and he's not bad in the ring, everybody, so give him a chance. Him and Tanahashi could tear the house down.
Yeah, I think he just wrestles in an old-school style, which is fine with me.
That. Yeah.
And I think the fact that fans have got upset about this has, whether Michael Bennett wants to admit it or not, it's motivated him to do even more in this match and make sure that it is just a five-star classic, whether the internet wants to admit that or not. And I think good for Michael Bennett, because he's a fantastic wrestler. He really gets it, and he has his issues with fans on the internet and whatnot. But that being said, he still gets it done in the ring, and I think him and Maria make an awesome pairing together. I think if you've never seen Maria working in ROH compared to what she did in WWE, it's night and day. I mean, she is the classic heel manager for Mike Bennett and does a fantastic job at it. Also working with Adam Cole and Matt Hardy, and they formed their own little faction in ROH, and it's been quite entertaining from all accounts of what they've done so far. So I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Michael Bennett prove the internet wrong and have a heck of a match with Hiroshi Tanahashi and stick it to all the people that were, you know, saying that he isn't the guy. But it's just the problem with cards like this is people get their hearts set on making these dream matches, and obviously there's so many guys that Tanahashi, they would want to see wrestle Tanahashi in ROH, and they're getting Michael Bennett. But as Michael Bennett said on his own podcast, hey, the people that set up this card made this match. It wasn't him. So obviously they think it'll be a good match, and he plans on delivering on that. So we will see, but I'm sure that will be the match that will be one of the most talked about one way or the other coming out of this show.
Just people just need to go in with an open mind, you know, give Michael Bennett some credit, and you know, if you're just a Tanahashi fan, then that's fine. But don't poop on the match before you've seen it.
I think it's going to be a great match. It'll just be how people receive it, one way or the other. I have no doubt that it'll be a great match.
Well, here's hoping he turns some doubters into believers.
In any case, Michael Bennett won't care one way or the other. As long as he feels he had a good match, he'll be sure to tell us about it.
Definitely.
There are just two more matches left on this card. The Decade, BJ Whitmer, Roderick Strong, and Jimmy Jacobs. Oh, Jimmy Jacobs is not in this match, but I'm sure he'll be around. It'll be Roderick and Whitmer taking on Gato and Jado. And that will be a tag team match, and I'm sure, like I said, Jimmy Jacobs will be wandering around somewhere around ringside. That should be a good one. And the last match, which is listed here, this could be another one that could be a lot of fun. We have Matt Taven, ACH, and Tommaso Ciampa for Team ROH, so to speak. And we have the Forever Hooligans, who were part of the match of the night, arguably, with the Young Bucks and with Alex Shelley and his partner. They are teaming with Taiki Watanabe. I did that for a second week in a row. Watanabe. I had it right. I did an interview this week and got it right, and now I got it wrong again. Watanabe.
Yes.
There we go. I will never have to say that name probably for a while after this. So, you know, 2 out of 3 times I got it wrong. I'm sorry.
You'll get it one of these days.
Anyway. Well, if he comes to WWE, he'll never be that name anyhow. So
he'll be like Steve Bodenhauser or something.
No. He'll be Tajiri Jr. Anyway, with that being said, with all these elements in this match in a 6-man tag, that looks like it could be some fun.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a wild one. And just looking at all the matches, probably a great match to kick off this card. I would think with what's on the card, this seems like a great match to be the opener.
Definitely, man. And me and you are actually thinking about going to the ROH show in, when was it? It was September?
September the 6th. ROH will be back in Toronto, this time at the old Maple Leaf Gardens. I have been to the venue there. It is bigger than Ted Reeve and a lot nicer. No disrespect to the Ted Reeve Arena, but it just is. It's a lot nicer, and hopefully we'll have shorter beer lines, because that was one thing. I did not drink at the ROH show, but boy, oh boy, if you did, it was not pretty. The beer line was a long one.
You got to have a drink at a wrestling show. That's just like...
I did at the Sunday show in Hamilton, because there was not much of a line there. Yeah. It was just a little bar, and it was easy access, but at the ROH show, oh my, you really had to love your beer to get a beer there.
And I'm going to be doing everything in my power to make sure that I go to the September show, because I missed out on Global Awards, which I'm still very disappointed about. But September, you can count me in, Mr. Borbath.
All right, we will be there, and we won't be square. We'll see.
We won't be square.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I got all the hip terms that the kids use. Yes, I do. And so we wish ROH a lot of luck. And, of course, after that, the heading to pay-per-view, where a rumor has already surfaced for the July 22nd pay-per-view of some people that will be on that show. Have you heard this yet, or am I surprising you as well?
You're going to have to fill me in, buddy.
All right, well, it seems that a certain former TNA tag team by the name of Bad Influence...
Oh, wow.
...will indeed be appearing on Best in the World for ROH. ROH has yet to confirm this, but reports are out there that Christopher Daniels will be bringing along his tag team partner, who, by the way, leaving the company, won on TNA Wrestling last night... Frankie Kazarian, good booking, TNA. A guy's leaving your company and you book him out a winner. ROH thanks you for making him a bigger star.
TNA's loss is ROH's gain, man. I mean, most of these guys started their careers out working for ROH. And now it's nice to see it come full circle. We saw it with, you know, when Cassius Ohno couldn't cut it in NXT. They brought him back as Chris Hero. We've seen AJ Styles doing some work there. The Young Bucks, and now Daniels and Kazarian, so... Yeah, it bolsters the roster.
The roster on ROH is a plentiful, and these two will only add to the mix. I can only imagine what they will be doing if we are right in our prediction about what's going to happen with the Young Bucks and Red Dragon. It would seem a safe bet that a Red Dragon versus the Bad Influence would be one heck of a program.
Oh, mouth is salivating over that one.
Just speculating, folks. I know nothing at this point, but ROH
it's imaginary booking. That's what we do here.
Well, we try not to do too much of it, but
once in a while.
That one seems fairly obvious.
Oh,
so
yeah, you got to go down that path, especially if Red Dragon wins the belt.
Yeah, we will see, but that one seems fairly obvious. Although, if the Young Bucks are hanging around, I'm okay with seeing the Young Bucks versus Bad Influence, too. I think that would be just as good, or heck, make it a three-way. I'll watch that, too.
I was about to say, yeah, man, let's throw all three teams in there.
But we will see, but Best in the World, that will be the main focus for ROH heading out of this now as they head to traditional pay-per-view. With a lot of momentum, I think, coming off the show in Toronto, and by all indications, the show in New York City, it's a sellout, and they had everything work well with iPay-per-view, so I would imagine the numbers will only go up for that for ROH on this second effort, especially with the New Japan versus ROH element to this card. Should be fun, should be exciting. Good luck to the guys at ROH. Because they're really working hard, and got to talk with Court Bauer at the War of the Worlds show, and that guy is making things happen in that company behind the scenes as a consultant, and I wish him and all the people at ROH nothing but the best of luck, because they are putting on a product that is being entertaining when at a time when the WWE and TNA, quite frankly, haven't been all that entertaining. TNA, obviously terrible, and the WWE's been really hit or miss of late, I've found.
Yeah, I mean, we're setting a record. This must be a record for this podcast, the amount of ROH we've been talking, and that just shows, you know, we talk about the WWE stock falling, and now, I don't know if you brought it up earlier, but apparently Vince McMahon lost $340 million on Friday, and now he's officially lost his billionaire status.
Well, that would be because of the stock, technically. Yeah. And, by the way, I'm glad you brought it up. WWE Stockwatch. Oh, we just had an update.
Stockwatch.
11:32 the stock sits at. And we are currently 8 minutes away from closing. So this is not looking good. Down 43.2%. I now feel compelled that we keep the podcast going for another 8 minutes just so we can get you the closing price of the WWE stock on the day. If you missed it earlier on, the stock started the day at $19.93 and is now down to $11.32. We will get you that final number as we talk a little more wrestling to finish this out, but a incredible busy week of news in wrestling, and I feel like we've covered everything, but at the same time I feel like we might have left something out.
We barely talked WWE today. I mean, we brought up the stocks and we talked about Daniel Bryan's surgery, but, I mean, Raw and SmackDown, it wasn't really good.
Well, no, and that's probably best we didn't talk about those shows, to be honest with you, because they were kind of lackluster, and I think, obviously, Daniel Bryan's injury kind of threw everything into a tizzy this week with WWE television. But we did mention their television deal also, which was huge news for WWE. And obviously a little bit more important than the build-up to Payback for their long-term future. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Payback isn't looking so hot at the moment. I mean, Cena and Bray Wyatt, it was confirmed it's going to be a last-man-standing match. Whoop-de-doo. Last-man-standing matches don't do it for me anymore, especially in the PG era where they can't really take much risks. And most of the matches them. You know, I complained about this with you over their Extreme Rules match where Cena had spent, you know, a good 10 minutes just trying to get over the cage. I feel like that's going to be the case again at Payback with them just trying to answer 10 counts and getting up at 9. That's why I'm not really looking forward to it. And I expect Cena to go over because it's the rubber match.
Although, if you throw in the element of the title, does that change your view of this match?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. If the title's on the line, Cena goes over. Absolutely. They're not giving Wyatt the belt yet.
No, but I'm just saying, forget who wins or loses. the fact if you threw that title into that match now, does that change your opinion of it in the sense of your interest level?
No, not at all. Because, for one, the end is predictable, and two, I think the match is going to play out the same way regardless.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably true, but I just wonder if by throwing the title into that loop, if it makes it more exciting or less exciting as a match. I think it adds a little bit to it, but I agree with the way the feud has gone, and then adding the belt to it, are you almost just guaranteeing a John Cena victory at that point?
I think fans are just so over John Cena being WWE champion, and I think the only reason they would consider putting it on him at this time is because of the Daniel Bryan injury, because they really have nowhere else to go at this point.
And, yeah, it's a tough situation for the WWE, and obviously a tough situation for Daniel Bryan as well. He's been through a lot. Did a great interview prior to this news with Chris Jericho, and it was actually after he had lost his father, so it was recently, but just not recently enough that the news about his neck was known. And just a really interesting interview with Daniel Bryan. A lot of his thoughts on, you know, how this has all come to be. And, you know, a guy who really seems to appreciate everything that comes his way. And that's something, as we kind of tie this all up and this show up to some degree, that was something, by going to the ROH show, by going to the Alpha One show, it made me see a lot of wrestlers that are still in that mode of climbing and building, and just how appreciative they are of the fans and of just being able to work in this sport and entertain people. And I really had nothing but positive experiences from everyone I interacted with, and it was such a great time. And I encourage people, you know, if you've ever been on the fence of going out to a show and checking it out, whether it be a local indie show or an ROH show, do yourself a favor and go check it out. I mean, I had a blast. It was a great time. I know the guys I had met on the bus heading down, it was their first time going to an ROH show. They had a blast as well. You know, it seemed like there were a lot of people. I know that was the most they'd ever drawn at Ted Reeve for ROH, and it seemed like there was a lot of people there that were not necessarily the traditional ROH fans that were kind of coming out there to have their first look at ROH maybe live. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but it felt that way, and it was a great environment. And, you know, wrestling fans are wrestling fans. I had preconceived notions about what an ROH fan was, and they were wrong. I just thought, you know, these guys are the smarkiest of smarky fans, and maybe this isn't the place for me to be. You know what? Couldn't have been further from the truth. Everyone was great, waiting in line for stuff, talking with various people. Wrestling fans are wrestling fans, and it doesn't matter if it's at a WWE show, an ROH show. Heck, even the few people that TNA are bringing in, wrestling fans are the same regardless of what brand of wrestling they're at and they're watching. They all, in a sense, they may not agree on what they want to watch, but they all have the same kind of enthusiasm and spirit to being a crowd and being fans of the sport.
And that's what makes this podcast so great, is that me and you are genuine wrestling fans. I mean, we're not like, I hear a lot of other podcasts out there, and I'm not going to name names, obviously, but they basically act like marks, like WWE marks. And the thing with me and you is that we appreciate good wrestling, and that me and you bag on TNA all the time, but it's because we're not interested in their product right now, which is the case with a lot of other people. But we enjoy what Ring of Honor is doing. And we, you know, on occasion we give the WWE some credit as well for what they're doing storyline-wise. But we're going to keep talking about wrestling, the wrestling that we enjoy, and the wrestling that hopefully everyone else out there enjoys as well.
And I think, too, the environment that we both come from, covering professional basketball, you're not really encouraged, allowed, expected to be a fan when you're covering the NBA or covering a basketball team. That's absolutely frowned upon. I think the thing that I've loved and embraced and enjoyed about covering wrestling is it's okay for me to say I'm a fan, and it's okay for me to say that, you know, I enjoy certain wrestlers and I'm fans of this guy and that guy, as long as I'm giving analysis that makes sense and is logical, and I'm not favoring one guy over another. It's okay to be able to express yourself as a fan, but as a knowledgeable fan.
Yeah, we just don't kiss everyone's butt on here, you know, like a lot of other people.
Well, you should start kissing Alicia Fox's butt on this show, I think.
Deal.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen because...
Hey, you know what? She became my favorite diva, and I know she responded to me on Twitter and all, and that was very cool of her, but I liked what I saw from her after that Paige encounter. You know, she showed some personality, and she stood out amongst a pack of divas who were getting very generic. I mean, holy crap, what was it? Was it this past Monday at night on Raw when they had the Natalya Nikki Bella match and they had the stupid scoring cards? Eva Marie should never judge anything, as far as I'm concerned. The fact that she held up a 9 or a 6 or a 2, she has no right to do anything along those lines that's going to be used for Total Divas. I just wanted to get out of the way quick just before we close off the podcast here, because that really annoyed me.
That was kind of bizarre because we've never seen where a Total Divas angle has ended up on the WWE programming.
That wasn't the first time. I think there was an altercation. Remember when Summer Rae and Natalya, they had a little slap fest there, and then the next night on Raw they had a match. So it wasn't the first time. But
but it wasn't directly correlated. They had always kind of not liked each other on Total Divas, and it was never. But this was like, this literally happened, and then we got a match. I don't know if I like this kind of whole idea.
Because she drew a painting of Nikki Bella on John Cena's lap, and it made her look fat. That's why we have to have a wrestling match on Raw.
I don't know. I don't know.
This and Legends House, man, I am...
Oh, we don't even want to go into Legends House.
I don't
want to
get in depth, but holy crap.
We just hope there isn't a Legends House 2.
You know what? They're talking about Legends House 2, and two names they're actually considering and they're in negotiations with are Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no. And they have an open bar on Legends House. That's all I will say. That, okay, they might have hooked me for season 2 now. I admit it. Ric Flair, open bar, Hulk Hogan, yeah, that could work. But I don't know. I resist.
No.
I will say no. Okay, are you ready for it? Here we go. Are you ready for the final WWE stock update of
stock
the
update
program? Tape line, the closing price for WWE World Wrestling Entertainment, $11.27. That is down 43.45%. So if you own the WWE stock, we say...
You poor bastard.
Don't worry, brighter days are ahead.
Keep a smile on. It's not as bad as it looks. Well, it is, but I'm trying to be nice.
If you don't own the WWE stock,
like us,
today was the day to buy. Because it may never be better than this. Although the WWE stock has been lower than this in the past, for some context, it has the 52-week low for WWE stock is actually $8.96.
Oh wow, when was that?
It does not say that data here, but and of course we are all aware of the high, which was not that long ago, of $31.98. If you sold out at $31, congratulations. You did very well for yourself. Consider yourself lucky and, you know, save a little money for those capital gains taxes because they will get you. But all that being said, the stock market, it's a fun place. If you learn about it, it's really kind of legalized gambling. And today, the WWE lost.
They lost big.
They went to the blackjack table, and they got nothing but bad cards.
They Philadelphia 76ers the stock market today.
They did not do well. But I think, you know, I think the future for this company still is bright, though. And
oh, yeah, they'll dig themselves out of this hole. But, like, geez Louise, it's terrible now.
Well, I think a lot of people got excited about the stuff they were doing but didn't understand, like, the realities of it. But I think the WWE Network ultimately will be a success. And I think the company ultimately will be a success. It's just a matter of people were really getting crazy with their expectations of the company. I mean, to compare the WWE to traditional sports doesn't exactly work, and that's what was happening. People were looking at the deal that NASCAR signed and the deal that Major League Soccer signed, which was for $90 million. And they figured, like, oh, well, if Major League Soccer can get $90 million, what's the WWE going to get? But it's different because it gets into the type of advertisers that wrestling can attract, that major sports can, and it's really complicated at the end of the day. But, you know, I think now at least all of this stuff is done and the WWE can get back to their normal business, which is putting on a great show. And I think in the last 4 to 6 months, I think there's really been a lot of distraction to what's going on in the business side of this company and not as much attention and focus on the product that they're producing every week.
And we'll be sure to have more stock updates next week. And see.
No, that was just for today.
Oh, come on. We have to do some sort of an update next week and see how what's happened over 7 days.
Yeah, no, but it won't
be... going to be a recurring segment now, James.
No,
give people what they want.
No, it won't it won't be throughout the show like this. Because the one thing that is a downer about this show, now if someone's listening to this on Sunday, they clearly know that we recorded the show on Friday.
Yeah,
because...
that's true.
It is now Friday, 4:07, and everyone knows that because the stock market, as everyone knows, closes at 4 p.m.
Yes,
so there you have it. So the mystery of when this podcast gets recorded has been revealed, although it's not always at the same time every week, but it usually is around this time. That being said, we are out of time. So for that guy, Chris Walder, I say, Alicia Fox, I am with you. And I am James Borbath. We will be back next week talking professional wrestling from WWE, ROH, and anywhere else that puts on entertaining wrestling. We'll try and let you know about it and try and tell you what we think about it. So thanks for tuning in. And, oh, with all the stock watches, we forgot. Follow us on Twitter, at Condo on the Moon. Two O's, Condo on the Moon. And we have over 200 Twitter followers now, Chris Walder. That's pretty good.
We're moving on up. We just need Alicia Fox to tweet us out.
Yeah, well, she's never following now, thanks to you.
Damn it.
Never. Never going to happen. So thanks to all the great people I met, Kevin Steen, Adam Cole, Ethan Page, all you guys, Michael Elgin, all the great wrestlers I had the chance to meet over the weekend. It was a pleasure and a thrill, and it will be a pleasure and a thrill to be back talking to all of you next week on this very program.
Call me Alicia.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
More questions.
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye.